cool properties about it. We can get a tan by it. We can cook food by it. We can move in our ways by it. We can project beautiful images on a screen by it. And if it wasn't for the blue light, where would Kmart specials be? In fact, what I'd like to do today is take a look at light and just how powerful it is. In fact, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture today, Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 34, which talk about a bright light coming from heaven. In fact, that bright light was Jesus Christ. And what we're going to look at is his encounter with Saul on the road to Damascus. So if you want to open up your bulletins and follow along today, there's a little blue sheet, half sheet of paper in your bulletin, which has an outline. And if you want to, you know, jot some notes as we're sharing, feel free to. But this will be a good outline to go by as we look throughout the passage today. Let's look at the first four verses of chapter 9 of Acts. And from those words that we're going to look at today, we're going to see how this light changed Saul's life in such an incredible way that he was never the same person thereafter. In fact, for those who might not know, anyone know what Saul's name was changed to after this experience? Paul. Yes, Saul became the Apostle Paul, and it all started on this very special day on the road to Damascus. So in verses 1 through 4 of chapter 9, it reads, "Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along, approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' On this given day, Saul was on a path to destruction. He was out to gather up Christians of the church, bound them up, and bring them to the high priest. But Jesus Christ came along and, in essence, kind of put Saul on a detour. He freed him from this path of destruction and death and despair that he was set on, and he was about to, in a sense, liberate Paul into a new light, show him a different way, take him down a different path for history's sake. And how true is this in our own lives? When you think about living your life, how often along does God come and shed some light on your path? Liberate you from something that you might consider darkness in your life. It could be a mistake that you've made that you're beating yourself up over. It could be an addiction that you're suffering with and you need light shed on it in terms of turning you into a new way. It could be any number of things. But Christ encounters us just like he encountered Saul on the road to Damascus in such a way that he reveals himself and we soon find ourselves going down a different path. So the light of Christ is very liberating. And the choice for us to make is, do we follow that original path that we were set on, like Saul was on the road to Damascus, or do we choose a different way? Let's read on in the passage, verses 5 and 6. "And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And the reply came, 'I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But get up, enter the city, and you will be told what you are.'" Now, during this encounter, Jesus gave Saul a set of instructions. And I'm not sure about Saul, but I kind of have a feeling that he was a proud man, kind of a driven man, kind of had his own agenda. And as we read in those opening passages, he had an agenda that day of gathering up some Christians that he didn't like. But Jesus Christ came along and gave him some instructions and set him on a different way. An agenda that was totally different than what he was probably expected to do on that given day. However, at that moment, Saul was kind of getting from Jesus what we call in the business world kind of a coaching opportunity. Jesus was concerned about Saul's performance, about how Saul was behaving. And so he was stating to him in very simple language, "You know, what are you doing here? What are you doing to me? What are you doing to my church? Why are you persecuting them?" He was questioning Saul in terms of his intentions. And at that moment, he was trying to put Saul on a different path. He was trying to encourage him to maybe look at things in a different way. And we'll find out more about that exact path that he put Saul on in just a few minutes. So another question for us to think about today is, we walk our lives and are instructed in our spiritual walk with the Lord, whether it be through prayer, through interacting with others, through studying God's Word. What are we doing with the instruction that we get from Jesus? Are we following, like Saul followed Jesus' instructions in terms of going into the city, or are we going a different way? And it may not be a road to Damascus. It could be a road to Hillcrest, or Spring Valley, or Carmel Valley, or downtown, or any number of places here in San Diego County. But God encounters us every day in His own special way in a number of different circumstances. And the thing I want to put out is, what do we do with that instruction? How do we use it? Where do we turn to it? How is it then manifested in our life? So reading on into verse 8, so Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could not see anything. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Note here that Saul is at a point where he cannot go it alone. He needs the help of others. He needs the help of companions in order to get him to go to the destination where he's supposed to be. He cannot do it by himself. And I don't know about you here in the congregation today, but I am a control freak. And I like to do things my way. I like to do things on my own plan, on my own timetable, with my own agenda. You can even ask my partner, Mike. I am that way. And he will attest to it and probably stand up and say amen, amen before the sermon is over. But yes, we are creatures who don't tend to like others to assist us from time to time. And here was a situation where God was using other people to guide Paul in a direction where God was seeing him needing to be. And oftentimes that is very true of us in our Christian walk. That's why we have buildings like this, where we can have others help guide us in our spiritual walk, give us encouragement, give us nurturance, give us support, give us teaching and instruction. We cannot go it alone. We may like it sometimes to try that path, but it doesn't always work. So just as Saul needed his companions to get him into Damascus, we may need fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to get us along our spiritual path. It could be our pastor. It could be a teacher. It could be a friend. It could be a counselor. It could be any number of family members who help us along our walk, who help us along our path in our Christian maturity and in our Christian growth. And thank God for having those people like Saul's companions in our lives to get us along that journey. But then again, perhaps you are one of those people in this congregation right now who is guiding someone towards their wholeness. Maybe you have someone who's directly under your care who, if it wasn't for you, they would be lost. They would be blind. They wouldn't find their way. And it's because of your parenting, your teaching, your nurturing, whatever it is, you're being one of those companions just like Saul had on that road to Damascus. In verses 17 and 18, we read, so Ananias went out and entered the house, and he laid his hands on Saul and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus appeared to you and on your way here has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately, like scales, fell from his eyes and his sight was restored. Then he got up and he was baptized. If you read in the previous verses to verses 17 and 18, you see that Ananias wasn't really excited about this mission that God had called him to do. He wasn't really too thrilled about the idea of going to Saul's house. For those who know this story, Saul did not have the best reputation. He was out to kill people. He was out to round people up. He was out to cause trouble. And I don't know how many of us wake up on a given morning with the intention of going over to a troublemaker's house, or to go over and minister to someone who just really doesn't have the best reputation in town. And so Ananias was questioning the Lord on why he was calling Ananias to take himself over to Saul's place of staying and to minister to him. It just didn't make sense. He didn't feel comfortable doing that. But yet God had a plan. Again, God was using Ananias to heal Saul. He had a purpose for why he needed that man at that day to have an impact on that life of Saul. And he not only provided physical healing to Saul, but there was also spiritual healing taking place on that given day. Not only was Saul's eyesight restored, but he was also baptized and received the Holy Spirit at that point. So he was transformed in a number of different counts by the fact of Ananias being there to heal him. And imagine now, if we go back those 1900 and something years ago in history, what happened if Ananias hadn't followed through on that plan? What if he decided, well, forget it, Lord, I don't trust the guy, I'm going to stay here in my place where it's safe and secure and not get anywhere near that Saul guy? Where would we be today if Ananias hadn't followed through and healed that man that we know as Saul, who then became the Apostle Paul? As I was reading this story over the last few weeks, it reminded me again and again and again how important other people are in our lives in terms of doing God's work. And how if we don't impact other people, what opportunities might not then take place. And again, this whole situation with Ananias, had he done his own will and not the Lord's will, where would Saul be today? Where would the Gentile church be today? Would Pacific Beach United Methodist Church even be here this day had it not been for Ananias doing God's work? So, again, another question for us. When you feel reluctant about doing ministry, might you say something like Ananias would say, "Why, Lord, I can't go and minister to that type of person. Think of their reputation. Think of where they live in town. What would people say about me? Think of what they've done. I just can't do that." Yet Christ, in his own way, may give you that gentle nudge, that little push, that earnest kind of motivation to get you moving to impact that other person. You never know what he might do to you and through you to minister to other people so they can then reach out to other people around them. Then reading on in verses 28 through 31. "So he went in and out among them in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He spoke and argued with the Hellenists, but they were attempting to kill him. Then the believers learned of it. They brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Meanwhile, the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and was built up, living in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It increased in numbers." After Saul's conversion, he became targeted in a number of different ways. And what I mean by targeted is overall he became focused on the plan that God had for him. And that was taking the gospel to the Gentile church. He was very focused in that regard, that you can see from that account, he had quite the impact. The numbers of the church throughout that region were growing and growing and expanding, and all kinds of wonderful things were taking place in that early first century church. But on the other hand, there were these people who really didn't agree with what Saul or Paul was doing at that time. They were kind of worked up just as they had been worked up with the ministry of Jesus a few years earlier. And so there were those people out there among the ranks who wanted to see Saul dead. They were even plotting to kill him. So he was not only targeted in his ministry and reaching out with the gospel, but he himself was targeted in terms of what people were thinking about plotting against in terms of his demise. And we can see the same thing in our own spiritual walk. We can see the same thing in our own church. We can be very focused and targeted in terms of reaching out to our community, reaching out to our world, making a difference in general to this planet, and at the same time have people on the outside looking in saying, "I don't agree with your theology. I don't like the way you minister to people. I don't like the way you choose to minister to certain types of people." So in the same vein, 1900 years later, we can be focused in reaching out to people, and we can still have people plotting and saying things against us as believers in terms of the work that we're doing for Jesus Christ. And so we too, like Saul, like Paul, are being persecuted even to this day for having a ministry on this planet. So what it really boils down to is light can have an impact. Light had an impact on Saul. It freed him from a path of destruction, not only in his personal life, but impacting lives of fellow believers. It instructed him. It taught him some lessons. It helped him realize that there are other ways in life. You don't have to go about living destruction. You don't have to go about bringing despair to people. You can make a totally different point of view in their lives if you so choose. It guided him. It brought him to the right destination rather than the wrong one. Though it did take him on a detour, the outcome is evident today as in this gathering of people here because of what Paul did with the Gentile church. Furthermore, light can heal. It brought his physical sight back, and it also brought spiritual insight to him as well. And so the light of Christ can do the same thing in our lives if we just turn to it when we need to. And finally, it helped him get targeted, focused. And oftentimes in our busyness and our hectic lives, we find it very difficult to find those points where we find direction, purpose, and vision. And with Christ's light, we sometimes see where we need to go and where we need to be if we just allow ourselves to follow that light. So how might we become more spiritually illumined? There's 3 points there at the bottom of that half sheet of paper for the outline. One way, we saw this in Saul's situation, allow God's vision to become your own. Allow God's vision to become your own. Like I mentioned, on that road to Damascus that day, Saul had an entirely different agenda than what Christ had. But through that encounter with Jesus Christ, it gave Saul a new vision. It gave Saul a new focus. It gave him a new game plan to follow by. And by following that, he impacted the world. So imagine what God can do with you if you allow him to detour you from your agenda, from your vision, and have him follow his. Secondly, permit others to provide you with new insights. Permit others to invite you to see new insights. God, like I mentioned, works through other people in order to impact us. He worked through Ananias. He worked through Saul's traveling companions. He can work through us here at Pacific Beach to impact other people's lives. And we need to keep a teachable mindset to allow other people to work through us. We need not to be stubborn. We need not to be prideful. We need to allow God to work through us, through those other people, to maybe keep ourselves open to the opportunities that they might provide. And speaking of opportunities, the third thing is to realize the potential of your spirit-driven spark. God's plan was to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. He used Paul, a Holy Spirit-filled new Christian, to get that endeavor going. And if he can use a man who was bent on destroying his church, imagine what God could do with a group of people, a church, whomever, was bent on making a difference in our families, in our community, and in the world. Yes, light has some tremendous potential and power. The only question is, are we going to tap into it? Father, we thank you for the light that you provide us each and every day. In a world where sometimes darkness seems to pervade so many spaces, you bring us hope. You shed light and opportunity for us to go out and minister to those who may be trapped in that darkness. And we thank you for that power and that potential that you provide us day in and day out. Lord, we pray today for those within our congregation who may need a part of that light. We pray that you may work through us to minister to those individuals, not only in our midst, but outside of these four walls. Father, too, we pray for Pastor April today as she's traveling with Liz and they're looking at colleges, that you would give her traveling mercies and bring her back safely to us next week. Lord, you just give us so many good things, and your light is just one of them. And we just praise you for all that you do for us and all that you've done for us both today and in the past and for those things to come. And we just commit this remainder of this day and this next week to you and ask that you would bless us and make us ministers of your light as we go forth. So, Lord, in the words that your Son shared with us, we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.